If I start sweating, that's not because I'm nervous or anything. It's just because I'm from Iceland and it's cold. Okay. Hi, my name is Peter, and I'm an alcoholic. You know, I was thinking when, you know, we came here yesterday, and this is, I'm not going to try to describe this, you know, because words are insufficient. But I was sitting here last night, and I was connecting, I was identifying, I was nodding my head, going like, And I look over, and there's this elderly African-American gentleman. He's nodding too. And I look at his name tag. He's from the Bronx. You know, I'm from Iceland. I was 8 years old when I first saw a black, no, excuse me, African-American person. You know, so talk about an internal condition, you know. It's got nothing to do with where you're from or anything, you know. It's, I just wanted to make that point, you know. I just want to say thank God for alcohol. It saved my life. If I hadn't discovered alcohol at the age of 14, I would have killed myself before, committed suicide before 20. I'm convinced of that. Ever since I can remember, I felt like an alien. Restless, irritable, and discontent, and out of place. I come from a normal family. There's no alcoholism in my family. I had a good childhood. Iceland is a good country to grow up in, you know. But still, you know. I remember I was, my parents were having a dinner party, and I was beginning to watch people drink alcohol, and I saw it do things to them. They became happy. They started singing. You know, we have dirty limericks in Iceland, what people sing when they get drunk, and they hug each other. You know, I didn't see them when they were screaming or fighting or crying. You know, maybe that says something about my alcoholism. I don't know. And I went into the kitchen. I poured some different kinds into a large glass. Gulped it down. It was great. It was indescribably wonderful. And but it stopped working. So that's why I'm here. You know, it's too bad. You know. You know. First time I came to the States, I went to New Orleans, Bourbon Street. I'd be there now if alcohol was still working. You know. You know. I'm going to qualify myself. We're talking about the first step. I tell this story at my home group, you know. It's Friday. I'm at work. I'm restless, irritable, and discontent. But I make a decision. I am not going to get drunk this weekend. I am not going to drink. And I'm just going to stay home. I'm going to go to the video store, rent a lot of videos. Pull the curtains, lock my doors, just turn off the phone and sit there and watch videos, and I'm not going to drink. And I, you know, Peter calls them suddenlies or something. That's a great word for it, you know. It's because on my way, you know, talk about, on my way to the video store, I'm walking to the video, rent video stores, and I did some other stuff than alcohol. And I think to myself, now if I get some, what we call it, goof grass in Iceland or something, you know, there's never any trouble when I do that stuff, you know. I'll just do that stuff, a lot of it, and I'll just, you know, I'll enjoy the video better, you know what I mean? It's going to be good, you know, and I won't leave the house or anything, because whenever I drink, I end up being places where I don't want to be. And I do this brilliant idea. And as I'm sitting there watching videos, drooling, I get that feeling, you know, that feeling when there's something missing. I'm just not right. I'm on the verge of a tall boy of beer would fix that. So I run down to the pub because, you know, they're close to the liquor store. And I end up getting 2-liter bottles. I mean, just since I'm there, and, you know. I bring that back, and I'm just going to sip it, you know, watch video. And I come to, this is before midnight on a Friday. And when I come back, in another part of the city, it's Sunday noon. I'm in this apartment. There's this 50-year-old woman who has black eyes on both. Both eyes are black, and she's hitting on me. And her husband is dancing around the apartment in his underwear with a sword. Dancing around. And that all started with a trip to the video store. So so yeah, you're laughing, so you're identifying. You might be alcoholic, you know. They asked me to talk a bit about AA in Iceland. AA in Iceland has changed a lot. It's when I first came to AA, I went to rehab. We have really good rehab hospitals in Iceland. They are really good. They are very professional. Minnesota treatment, excellent. And I went there in 93, and they helped me a lot, and the information they gave me was go to AA meetings, get a sponsor, and read the big book. And like, I remember on Saturdays at that rehab, they showed a video, and it was that TV movie, maybe somebody you've seen it, it's I, Bill W. It's an excellent movie, and I watched it, and I was identifying, and I cried, and oh, this is AA. Oh, man, I can't wait to get out of here. And I'm going to join AA. This is going to be great. And I came to AA, and it was absolute crap. Okay, so I spent, like, the information that I got was wait 2 years and get comfortable before you work the steps. That is information that nearly killed me. So, yeah. I still get resentments when someone says that, you know. But anyway, I did that because, you know, there was this one guy doing the steps, this old-timer, crusty old guy. He's still there, going, wah, 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 about the big book. And all the other guys told me, no, you be careful of him. He's an extremist. He's and okay, I just, you know, I talked about my feelings, you know. I went to a meeting a day, and I discussed and I shared my feelings ad nauseum. AA is on my 9-step amends list because I abused it. I came into a meeting and I smeared, and you know. But when I came back, you know, I was in and out, in and out, in and out of AA. But then something happened about 6 years ago. A couple of guys were in the States. They worked the steps. Somebody brought Joe and Charlie over. You know, on a Lano Club started. Big Book Thumpers, you know. I was scared of them. These people were crazy. They were extremists, you know. They wouldn't even let me share at meetings, you know. But I got to the point where I was so disgusted that I was ready to do anything. You know, I lied to get into a halfway house. I told them I'd been sober for 10 days. I drank the night before because I couldn't not drink. I used to say in AA meetings, just because I heard some other person say it, you know, I choose not to drink today. And I found there I could not choose. I wanted not to drink. I was prepared to quit. I wanted so desperately not to drink. And I couldn't. I could not. And I sat there at that halfway house. I smoked cigarettes. Didn't talk to anyone. I just sat there in the living room. And I realized if I didn't do something, I was going to drink again. No matter what. It didn't matter if I was going to hurt my mom once again. My ex-girlfriend's wife, we have a kid together. She had told me to go F myself, you know, a couple months earlier. You know, I'm sick of you. You're disgusting. And I knew it didn't matter. I was going to go drink again, no matter what. And I went to my men's group, which is still my home group, and I'd been there before. They were a scary bunch, you know. They were happy, and you know, just it felt. I laughed though, because you know, that was a revelation for me. AA meetings can be fun, really, you know. But they were saying different stuff. In the meetings back in the old times, I've been told it comes from Al-Anon. It's a sign that says something like, what you hear, keep it to yourself. Something like, what you hear and see here, keep it to yourself. That was on every AA meeting. If I find those now when I'm speaking somewhere, they disappear mystically somehow. I don't know how. And these guys came up to me and they said, are you willing to quit drinking? Are you finished? And I found I was ready to do anything. Are you willing to go to any lengths? And I said, yes, I am. You want to work the 12 steps? Yes, please. I want what you have. So you handed me a cop brush. Start doing cops. Wash cops. And I did. I was desperate enough. That's all. It's a simple program. It's not rocket science. Thank God, you know. You can begin by doing work like that. And he took me through the steps rapidly. And about 3 months later, I was sitting, you know, in my halfway house. I had my own room by now. I was moving up in the world, you know. And I sat there on the bed, and it was snowing a little outside, and I had my spiritual awakening. You know, my friend Arnold, he says about these things like, okay, I'm probably going to offend someone out, but he says, you know, people ask him, newcomers, what's the spiritual experience like, you know? And he says, well, it's like describing an orgasm. If you haven't had one, there's no use in describing it. But when you had one, you know. You know, and I just started crying because I realized if I go on doing this, I'm never, ever, ever going to have to drink again. I mean, how cool is that? So that's why you keep on doing it. And things started changing, you know. I was 9 days sober when the second conference in Iceland was held with American speakers. I'm sitting there 9 days sober. And there's Mickey Bush screaming, you know, I've got a disease that tells me I ain't got it! And it's like... And everybody was laughing, and it was fun, it was... And I, you know, I belong to my men's group. Chris asked me to share about my group. You know, there are like people in AA who don't like Big Book Thumpers, and they call us the Talibani in Iceland. But I looked the word up. It means he who studies. So there you go. And we're like, last meeting was about 174 guys. The format is, I was secretary for 6 months. I choose very carefully out of the core of the meeting who's going to chair it. And every guy gets instructions, and no matter how long he's been in that group. And I tell him, you share what it was like, what happened, what it's like now, in 15 to 20 minutes. And, you know, and then he points at people he wants to share, 5 minutes each. And that's it. We ring the bell on them. And if you're talking about your feelings or some things, you know, I'll scream, there's the solution! If he still doesn't stop, we go, and we just clap him down. And that's not to hurt his feelings. They hurt my feelings in the beginning by doing that. But it's because we want to honor the fifth tradition. That's what we do. We have like a line, a tunnel of greeters. You have to shake 15 hands before you can get into our meeting. We pass you a speaker CD. There's information on anything, you know, You better, only requirement is if you shear, you shear stuff out of the big book or sit down and shut up. That's it, basically. And there is another thing. There comes great responsibility with doing stuff like that. Because we don't let them out either. We block the doors. They can't get out. They have to talk to at least four guys. That's what happened to me. So that's why I'm there every Monday. Buddy in a chair. I'm responsible. I'm there. You know, I've been sober. My anniversary, I'll be 2 years on the 14th of August, if God will allow me, you know. Hey, not yet, you know. Well, if I do the work, God wants me to be sober. I just have to do certain things. And I've sponsored like 20 guys. I'm not saying that to, you know, impress you. It's just, that's the way AA is in Iceland now. You know, I'm needed in the trenches, like Chris says. You know, I just have to do it. I have the world's greatest sponsor, because he's not the manager of my life, you know. He says, go help others, you bum. Just pass it on, and, you know, and stick to the winners. I hang out with Arnold. I mean, he's the only guy. You know, he does a lot of 12-step work and service work, and I want what he has, so I hang out with him. You know, if I got nothing to do, I'll go over and see him, and we end up doing something, you know. We go downtown and look for drunks at the midnight whining meeting or something. I don't know. And, you know, we had this, maybe some of you heard it on tape, we had this little 12-step happening thing in last March in Reykjavik. And like, I remember Peter saying, you guys are so professional, you know, when we were like... You know, I remember when we started it, we started discussing it, and then I prayed some, and we prayed some, and then we sat down to organize it. And I'll quote the meeting. It was like, cheers, yeah. Cheers are good, yeah. We got to get cheers, yeah. Coffee, yeah. Coffee's good. And what we did, we got this old, there's this book publisher, has a huge storage room, and we just moved the crap to one side, and we rented 500 chairs off the Boy Scouts, and so we could have it free admission, you know. We passed the basket. Arnold sold like millions of CDs to fund it, and it worked out. I mean, we didn't do it. We had like 4.5 years sobriety, the three of us together, and a lot of people helped us out. You know, Chris, he put off coming here over there for a year. He thought he'd be speaking to a couple of Eskimos and three penguins, maybe. Or I mean, he's from Texas. I mean, we all know what they're like. And like on Saturday night, we have you can. I'll hook you up. You can buy it off Glenn. That he has that convention, or I'll show you where it's on the internet, and you can hear it. Because there's like there were 430 people there. We didn't have enough cheers. It was screaming like a rock concert. Big book thumpers, all of them. You know, I didn't do this. And then one thing leads to another. I talk to Chris and say, we want to come to Fox. Yeah, you buckaroos, come on over to New York. And and we met Mike, and we started emailing with Mike, and he got us hooked up with a great couple who lives out in New Jersey, and we're staying with them. And just in the beginning, I just wanted not to drink. Yeah. But this is so cool. This is beyond my wildest dreams. And I got my Icelandic big book here, if anyone, whatever, I'm just so grateful for this, because at last somebody had the guts to respect my feelings and tell me the truth. You know, it hurt, but it works, you know. You know, my meeting is not a meeting, it's a pep rally. We scream and we shout and we clap, because this is a gift from God. It is not my right to share whatever I like in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's a quote, by the way. It's just, I'm pretty much done. It's great being here. Absolutely, you know, I'm not going to try to describe it in words, so just I want to say hi to all of you, and please come and let's chew the fat, and, you know, this is a warm